This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents.
Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest.
Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
The Arwin Lewis Show is brought to you by OMAD Records. Find out more at omadrecords.com.
As part of the Jeremiah Show, it's the Arwin Lewis Show. Arwin Lewis is a singer, a songwriter, and a guitarist. She inhabits our blue planet, but her beliefs belong in the celestial realm. As the daughter of Peter Lewis, a founding member of rock and roll cult icons Moby Grape, and the granddaughter of Oscar-winning actress Loretta Young, she's been part of the creative cosmos all of her life. She's a slice of sonic heaven, poised to enter your heart, mind, and soul. She's an artist, producer, and writer, and she's your radio host.
Round, round go the circles of sound. First you hear the music, then the words come down. Drifting in the window, in the middle of the afternoon. I'm putting them together with my imagination, trying my best to define the situation.
Everybody, this is Arwin Lewis, and you're listening to the Arwin Lewis Show. And today, my very special guest is Reba. Like an ocean, like a forest, flowing like a river, the songs of the earth write the music in my soul, says Reba. In India, stars are not made, they are born. Music is not a business, it's a way of life. The respect for music as one of the highest art forms reflects in the training that musicians put into their musical studies. Reba may have been born into an illustrious Bollywood family, but her star is rising under her own light. A multi-talented artist who has mastered Western, Carnatic, and Hindustani vocals, alongside classical piano, Reba is an award-winning songwriter and collaborator. Reba's music is the dream combination of traditional jazz and ultra-modern 21st century pop, wrapped in a gorgeous vocal instrument, and seasoned with a huge pinch of soul. Hello, Reba, and welcome to the Arwin Lewis Show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk about your career and journey as a musician. I'm so excited.
It's my pleasure.
You've got such a rich background of really
eclectic
training. Yeah. So let's just start talking about your musical education. You have a very prestigious education, and you've mastered Western, Carnatic, and Hindustani vocals alongside classical piano. Completed 8 grades of piano with distinction from the Royal Schools of Music in London. So, what inspired you to study music initially? And let's just talk about all of those different trainings.
I think like it's such a privilege to grow up in a musical family, not just because of the exposure to music that comes naturally, but also because of the people you meet, and you meet such great artists. And in my house, I remember the tanpura would be played every morning. Tanpura is an Indian instrument. It's similar to a sitar. And I remember sleeping on my mother's lap while she practiced and played the tanpura. And I would put my ears onto the resonator of the tanpura and would listen to it for hours. So there's so much music in the world, and I feel like one lifetime isn't enough. And as a little girl, I had this cute little pink tape recorder, and every week I would go to a music store and I would buy a bunch of cassettes and CDs. And that was something I loved doing. Like, I didn't like going shopping. I didn't like watching movies, but I loved buying CDs from a music store. So I would do that. And then I would listen to it on repeat mode, like literally 50 times or more, until everyone at home was fed up of it.
Do you remember what those albums were that you used to buy? Like, who were some of your favorite artists when you were growing up? And
well, Mariah was my all-time favorite. And of course, Michael Jackson, Barbara Streisand. I grew up listening to all these classics, Celine Dion and Phil Collins. So I was just very, very passionate about music. And then as I grew up, I realized more and more that music is what makes me happy, and I'm on a different trip when I create music. I mean, there's nothing like that eureka moment of knocking off a song that didn't exist before.
Right. And also, I wanted to say, too, like your songwriting, I didn't necessarily mention it much in the bio, but you are a very accomplished songwriter and collaborator, too, which is you know, it's quite the package to be a completely trained musician and a songwriter. And so when did you begin writing songs? Was it like in the middle of, you know, your studies of music, or what inspired you to start writing?
I was very close to my grandmother, my mother's mother, and she was like really, really, I literally like grew up. She took care of me as I grew up, and I used to stay with her more or less, because my parents used to be touring, because they're both artists, and they weren't at home most of the time. So I was with my grandmother, and I was so close to her. And then she passed away when I was 8 or 9 years old, and that's when I wrote my first song. I don't know what happened. I mean, I just started writing. So yeah, and ever since I've just been writing. It was a way to express my emotions.
What is your songwriting process like? Do you do lyrics first and then music, or does it just depend on what kind of music?
It just depends. Sometimes I just get both. Like sometimes I kind of dream of a song. Like I'm sleeping and then I wake up like with this song, like with one chorus line or something, and then I build on that. That's happened many times, and it would just come to me naturally in the most like weirdest places. Like I would be sipping my coffee and I just suddenly comes. But when I try to write, sometimes I'm blank, like I don't know what's going on. So I think trying too hard doesn't work for me, at least. Yeah,
I think you're right. I mean, after having, you know, spoken with a lot of songwriters, you know, in this past 6 months since I've been doing this show, most songwriters all say the same thing, like the best songs are the ones that just kind of like come to you and flow through you.
I think it can be taught. It's kind of a gift. Like it's almost like a magical process that happens.
Yeah. And same with music. I mean, you can teach music, you know, but what you do with it is kind of the same thing, right? It's like we're the channel for the music and the song and the melody. Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your vocal training and the difference between Western, Carnatic, and Hindustani vocal styles?
Right. So I feel like Carnatic music tends to be more structured, and okay. it has set rules, and it relies on fixed rhythm patterns and melody, whereas Hindustani music is more improvisational, I would say, allowing for greater flexibility and creative expression. Okay. And then Western music uses just minor and major scales and equal temperament notes, and Indian classical music uses a much more complicated system of scales. And it's like a mix of parent scales and that of descendant families, which sound very varied from each other. So, yeah. And I feel like in Indian classical music, the equal tempered division of musical notes is not followed. So instead of notes in different scales, like different pitch ratios are used. I can give you a demo. It's very hard to describe it like that. If you want me to.
You want to go ahead and give me a little demo of what you're telling us about?
So Carnatic would be like something like da 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 da. That's the Carnatic style. And the Hindustani would be and the Western like would be something in the similar scale. It would be na na na. Yeah, something like that. So it's totally different. It's a different way of singing each genre, I think. I try.
Oh my gosh, that was beautiful. You're very hypnotizing.
Thank you.
And you know, the Western was very Mariah of you as well.
Yeah. She's my inspiration.
I can hear that right away. Would you say that the Hindustani is kind of the jazz to Carnatic, like jazz is to classical and Western music?
Yeah, I guess so. Because like there's more room for, improvisation in Hindustani classical. So I would say so.
What was your education like? Like, what were your schools like when you were learning these styles? Like what would a day in study be like?
Well, I learned from different gurus.
Oh.
I learned from a lot of people. Like my first guru is my father. And then I learned Carnatic music from Prasanna Varier and Balamani Ayer. Like they're both maestros of Carnatic music. And I learned Hindustani classical from Pandit Rajan Sajan Mishra. So it was just a whole different kind of just different schools of music. And it was pretty hard for me to kind of blend it together and, you know, keep it authentic at the same time. And then I learned piano from Miss Shanti Selden. She was a Jewish lady. And I've just been learning, and I think it's never enough. Like I'm still learning, and I'm a keen learner. So, yeah.
And do you feel like your music kind of evolves the more you learn? Like, do you change styles and genres depending on, you know, what you're studying at the time?
Yeah, I do. My music grows with me. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I really love that you've told me that you learned from gurus, because I feel like that's a really spiritual experience too, right?
Yeah,
and I feel it's kind of like an intuitive thing that's transferred, like between the two of you.
Right. Yeah.
And so, as you said, your parents are both performers and touring performers. What do they do? What are their backgrounds?
Well, my dad sings in Bollywood movies, and my mother sings classical, semi-classical, to light music. So, and they recorded multiple albums together.
Oh, beautiful.
So they're a duo and they perform together. And I've been listening to that and watching their shows ever since I was a little girl. And like, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to become a musician.
So that's what inspired you to, yeah.
Because they both sing. I mean, it just runs in my blood, I guess. Yeah. And I just feel blessed to be born in such a musical family.
And I mean, it just sounds like that was your calling and you followed it, and how beautiful that you've been able to make your dream a reality.
Thank you.
Do you play any other instruments besides piano?
No, not really. I try to play the ukulele sometimes. I'm yeah. just accompany myself, but no, not really.
And for piano, that was something I wanted to ask you too. So you're classically trained. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Royal Schools of Music in London. Right. And so, well, first let me ask you this. Yeah, like, what was your education like there? Like, what genres were you trained in? Did you take the melodies that you learned in Hindustani, like with the vocals and Carnatic vocals, and take that and transpose it to the piano? Does your vocal training affect the way you play piano? Or, yeah, what was your piano training like?
So let me talk about the piano part first.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've passed all 8 grades of classical piano with distinction from the ABRSM boards of the Royal Schools of London. I remember my teacher, Nishanti Selden, she used to say that the pedal is the breath of the piano, and that the most perfect technique is that which is not noticed at all. And she used to always tell me that let your left hand, you know, sing like a cellist, and don't hammer it, because I used to be this little girl like trying to play the piano. She was like, stop hammering it, you know, form an apple with your hands, keep it light and gentle. And she taught me the importance of rhythm and various time signatures, and I feel like one way musicians practice rhythms is by breaking them up into smaller, more easily identifiable sub-patterns. So we did a lot of sight reading and oral training, and she used to say that I have the best ears. Like, that's the best thing I have. Like, I have great ears because I used to be very sharp. And I remember like everything she taught me, and she was much more than my piano teacher. And I really, really adored her. She was like my fairy godmother. But I don't really blend it into my vocal practice, because I want to stay true to each genre. And yeah, I don't want to kind of make it into a fusion, because that just wouldn't sound right.
Right. So you like that, the melodies that you've been trained in Hindustani and Carnatic are specifically for voice, and then piano is its own thing. Is it classical mainly, or do you do any jazz piano as well?
No, I only play classical.
And do you not sing when you play piano? Do you not accompany?
I do. That's just like pop songs. I mean, yeah. I just sing my own music and play chords. Yeah, I do that. I do. Okay. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to get ready to run out to break really quickly. And when we come back, I want to talk about your live shows and
just
continue talking about your journey. Everybody, if you're just tuning in, my very special guest is Reva. And today we're playing her song En Vogue, and that is a featured song at the end of the track, or at the end of the show as a featured track. So you'll hear that in its entirety. And then we're also playing 6 other excerpts from her songs as well. And you can find more out about her at rewarathod@gmail.com if you need to contact her. Instagram, Rathod, is that how you say it? How do you spell that?
Rathod.
Okay.
Yeah. So R E W A R A T H O D.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And then anyway, we're gonna take you out to break with her song In Love and War and bring you back in with All I Need Is You. So please enjoy and we'll be right back.
On a journey to be free, there's somewhere I believe that waits for you and me. So the battle must begin with all our strength within, and love and war will win. When we look up in the stars, we know deep in our hearts that freedom will be ours. The glory and the love that every man dreams of is inside each of us.
The OMAD Records featured artist on The Arwen Lewis Show is John DeNicola. Find out more at omadrecords.com. After many years of writing and producing different artists, Academy Award-winning songwriter of Time of My Life and Hungry Eyes, John DeNicola made his first album as an artist in 2019. Fast forward very fast to now for the release of its follow-up, She Said. And while DeNicola's debut, The Why Because, had him interpreting tunes he'd originally penned for others, She Said was conceived and created for one voice, one touch, and one heart, his own.
This is Arwen Lewis, and welcome back to the Arwen Lewis Show. Today, my very special guest is artist Reva, and she's a songwriter, a collaborator, a classically trained musician. She's also trained in Carnatic and Hindustani vocals and classical piano. She is a recording artist and has had some great accomplishments that we're going to start talking about pretty soon here. But first, I wanted to let you know that if you want to contact Reva, you can contact her at revarathod@gmail.com. That's reewarathod@gmail.com. On Instagram at Reva Rathod, and also Facebook under her name, Spotify under Reva, which is spelled R-E-E-W-A. And anyway, I have another cool thing to tell everybody about. Reva and I are both part of a showcase coming up in here in Santa Barbara on Wednesday, December 5th at Soho, and it's Lois Mahalia's Holiday Hang. So Lois is going to be featuring guest performances from Reva, Andres Jones, myself, Zach Madden, and Angus Cook, and so much more. It's going to be a great night. You can get tickets and dinner reservations at sohosb.com. Anyway, so Reva, let's come back and let's talk about some of your accomplishments, because, with your career having not, it's been long and extensive basically your whole life, right? But I feel like you're still pretty young and you've just had some amazing things happen for you. Let's talk about that you winning the Pepsi Music Award. How did that make you feel, and how were you selected to win, and what song were you chosen for that?
I was ecstatic. I mean, Yeah. So the song is called One Above from my album, Saya Tere Ishka.
Okay.
And that was my debut song, actually. And when I was writing One Above, I was, you know, told by someone that it's not up to the mark, it's not going to work, and, you know, I should try and compose something else. And I was completely devastated by this incident. But, you know, this discouraging review made me more determined to achieve what I believed in. And I took my chances and I just released it on YouTube and all social media platforms. And the very next year, it won the Pepsi Mirchi Music Award for the best song of the year.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. And I feel like living with fear, you know, stops us from taking risks. And if you don't go out on the branch, you're never going to get the best fruit. So one basic principle I follow in my life is to follow my heart and not the crowd.
Well, and that I think that's the most important motive for being a musician and a performer, you know, because I think the audience can really feel that too. When you're making something that's authentic, it's coming from your heart. And when you're expressing it that way, right, like the audience feels that and they feel moved and connection and they feel community and part of something greater than themselves.
Yeah. And the video, the music video is very, very interesting. It has this medieval vibe to it. And it sets the mood for a romantic evening in the misty woods. And it's almost like Alice in Wonderland. it's so beautiful. You have to watch the video for those.
Where can you find it?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
So it's Maula, M-A-U-L-A, One Above, Riva. And they'll find the video. And it has these interesting blue characters like avatars. And there's a warlock and an old man with a brown cloak who, you know, he resembles the evil warlock or a sorcerer. And it's just very mystical and interesting. And I've added a lot of riffs and runs in the song. So I feel that it liberates my music as a horse runs in the wild. And I'm riding a horse too. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to watch it. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Let's talk about how the making of that video. Where was it made?
In India, called Uti is like a hill station in India, and it's so beautiful. It's gorgeous. And we started shooting at 4 a.m. in the morning, and it was freezing. It was the month of December, and I was shivering in the outfit. and I had to ride bareback. So it was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Do you ride horses, or was that?
I do. Yeah, I used to ride professionally. I used to do show jumping and dressage.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
And how did you come up with the concept for the video?
Well, I always wanted a mystical video because the song had that vibe to it. And then my director, it was his idea and, you know, his imagination that just brought it to life. It was amazing.
Who was the director?
His name is Razi.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, you can go look that up on YouTube. And let's keep talking about more of your accomplishments. So was the Pepsi Award kind of your first big?
It was, because it was for my debut song. So it was the biggest thing ever.
Oh,
something just happened. Oh. What is this? What's happening?
Jeremiah is playing your music video.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think we're playing this song too today, aren't we?
Yeah. We opened with it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You can direct YouTube.
Perfect. One interesting fact I want to mention about this song is that I tried to, you know, create this unique sound for the word Maula, because Maula is related to Sufism. It's usually spiritual. So I tried to make it sound very modern and very pop, I would say.
Okay. So yeah, you took like the old philosophy and like modernized it basically with like a kind of like a pop, modern, ethereal song.
Yeah. Yeah, I worked really hard to compose this tune. I had sleepless nights. It took me a long time.
It did.
Yeah.
So the idea kind of came to you and then you just went to work and brought it to life.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. It took me a couple of weeks to finish it. I finished composing it and then a few more weeks to figure out how I want to sing it and what tone I should give it, because I didn't want to sing it in the typical Indian way. So, yeah.
Well, how about some of the songs that were chosen by DJ Raven for a Buddha Bar? Can you tell us the song?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I mean, everyone knows that Buddha Bar is the world-renowned lounge music label in Paris. And a few years ago, I composed a song called En Route Ganesha. And even though the lyrics were all like Indian shlokas, mantras, I made sure that it has a really chilled out vibe to it. And back then, Buddha Bar was my inspiration when I made the track. Anyhow, I put it up on my YouTube channel, and eventually after a couple of months, I got an email from the resident DJ of Buddha Bar, DJ Raven, saying that he wanted to include my song in their 20 years compilation album. And
beautiful.
So, it just happened all of a sudden out of the blue, and I was on top of the world, and then there was no holding back, and I've been composing and singing for Buddha Bar ever since. And I've recorded around 9 to 10 songs now, which have all been a part of their glorious albums. And another song I wrote called Love and Desire, which got selected in the Buddha Bar Greatest Hits. It just released like 2 years ago, and I feel humbled. And my favorite track is from the album Peace, Love, and Summer. Everyone has to listen to that one. It's a beautiful track.
And what is the name of that track?
Avedra Sunset.
Okay.
Peace, Love, and Summer, featuring Justine Sont and DJ Raven.
Okay.
It is a really cool track.
How can they find it? Can they just, is there like a Buddha Bar?
Spotify, Apple Music.
Okay.
All social media platforms.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, we're going to run out to break again pretty soon here. If you're just tuning in, my very special guest is Reba, and we're talking about all of her accomplishments as a recording artist, her beautiful education, as a Hindustani and Carnatic vocalist, as well as a master in Western vocals as well, and classical piano. And we're going to take you out to break with her song, I Fly, and bring you back in with latest remix. So for I Fly, can you tell us a little bit about that song?
So it's composed by Richard Cocciante.
Okay.
And he's a French-Italian composer, and it's written by Roxanne Seaman. And we're working on a project together, so she approached me with the song, and she wanted me to put my vocals down. I just felt connected to the song, and then I got it produced by a dear friend in India.
Okay.
Who played the guitars on it. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, everybody, please enjoy Reva's song, I Fly. And we'll be right back to talk more about this amazing artist that I'm very blessed to have on the show today. So thank you again, Reba, for coming on.
The telephone that never rings, the letter that the mail won't bring, could have had you in just a moment in the night. I wanna kiss you night and day and watch the sunlight fade away. Evening twilight on your face, so beautiful I can't erase. I'd fly.
Oh, man. Nomad Records featured artist on the Arwin Lewis Show is Peter Lewis. Find out more at omadrecords.com.
I'd say we are all trying to find some connection between what goes on in our own minds and what happens in the world around us. You know, there will always be good and bad in both places. But my belief is that as long as love and not fear is that connection, there'll always be hope for that better day coming. And that's what I'd like people to get off imagination.
Hey guys, this is Reva. Please follow me on Instagram and Facebook for more about me and my music and my musical journey. You're listening to The Arwin Lewis Show.
Before the next great song plays, let's pause to consider all the people who work tirelessly to bring us the music we love. Music Cares is music's leading national charity that provides a safety net of support and crisis relief for the music community. Everyone from musicians to tour managers, sound engineers to designers can rely on Music Cares to provide emergency financial assistance and essential resources in times of need. Find out how you can help at musiccares.org. That's MUSICARES.org.
Everybody, this is the Arwin Lewis Show, and my very special guest today is Reva. Reva Ratad is a very accomplished recording artist, musical collaborator. She's trained in Carnatic and Hindustani vocal styles, as well as Western music as well, a classical pianist, songwriter, a creator. And I thought we could just tell everybody a little bit about your name, Reva. You were telling me off air.
Reva is a constellation. Yeah.
And does it represent anything in particular?
No, I don't know.
It's part of the sky.
It's just, just a star or a constellation, something similar to that.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I love my name. And even though it's with a W, but you pronounce it with a V, Reva. So it's interesting.
It is, and I got confused in the beginning because I thought that meant that I had spelt your name wrong. But I was like, no, that can't be because I looked everything up online. I'm an English major and I can't spell. It's terrible. It's more about the
It's philosophy. Normal. Everyone does that with my name. It's okay. It's just normal.
Well, it's a very beautiful name.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that story. Yeah. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Jeremiah is making side comments here. In the let's move away from that. But Reva, another amazing fact about your career is that you've been featured in a music video alongside Kenny G, and you're representing India, and you sang in Chinese in this video. So I want to talk about that experience, and I wanted to ask, do you speak Chinese or did you learn just the lyrics of the song for this particular project?
So I was introduced to Yusai Khan through Roxanne Seaman, who's an established writer in Hollywood. And my project for the Chinese Fashion Gala, that was One World for Beauty, features the topmost artists like Kenny G, Lang Lang, Rosie Chan, and many more. And the song was called Jasmine Flower, which is the most popular folk song in China. And it was such a prestigious event. And I had to work with a translator to get the diction right. And someone from China called me and they made sure that I pronounced it correctly. And then I learned the song. And no, I don't speak Chinese, but I would love to learn. And I'm pretty good with languages like that.
Do you speak other languages too?
Well, a little bit of Spanish, a little bit.
Yeah. Same. Tiny bit of Spanish, French.
Tiny bit. Yeah, I need to brush up my French too. I learned it in school and then I just forgot.
I'm right there with you. One ear, not the other. My mother's a French teacher.
Oh, wow.
I always tell people, no parlez-vous français.
Where does she teach?
Well, she taught at a community college in Santa Maria called Allen Hancock College for 20 years. And now she just does private lessons.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, let's go. Let's keep talking about this Kenny G experience, though. So what was the video like? And where can people find it, by the way?
It's on YouTube. Okay. And also on Facebook. Nice. On social media. Yeah, on USICON's page.
Okay.
And One World for Beauty Fashion Gala. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And we all shot it during the pandemic. So, yeah, it was just, it was a combined effort to bring people from all across the globe together.
What a beautiful experience. And it sounds like, you know, following your path has just brought you into alignment with all of these crazy, not crazy, but like, you know, like very exceptional, you know, connections. To
yeah,
people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And on the same path. Well, if there was somebody who you could collaborate with, who you haven't met yet, do you have anybody in mind? Like, would it be writing a song or composing for them?
Well, I really love Seal as an artist, and I love Kiss from a Rose. Oh my God. And Heavenly and all his songs. He's just amazing. And I would love to sing a duet with him at some point.
That would be beautiful. Your voices would sound so magical together.
Yeah.
And as far as like production goes, do you have a preference of being, you know, do you like to be produced, or have you ever considered self-production, or have you ever produced yourself?
So yeah, I produce most of my music. Okay. And sometimes I work with another producer just to give it that extra edge. But recording and producing is, it's like capturing musical intoxication. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of technical stuff about how to make records and how to use Logic, and about choices of microphone and microphone positioning and preamps and effects and so on. Like I'm really interested in all that stuff. What has really allowed me to stand out over the years and, you know, kept me consistently in work as a, I feel like as a producer, you need to have patience and you can't always rush things. So, you know, you need to allow time for the magic to happen. And it takes like ages to find that right sound, but you may have to come back to something if it's not quite there, but then you know when it's right.
And I feel like that gives you more freedom too, as a creator, right? Like you don't have to depend on anybody to, you know, start the session, because you can start it yourself and then choose later, you know, whether or not you want to expand, right?
Yeah, and you really have to be passionate about producing. I mean, it's something that it's a very tedious and boring job. Like you sit and you think about what kind of sound you want to give the song, and it's difficult. And sometimes you just go blank, and that's when you need another producer to come in and help you, you know, just refresh your mind. and I give you some new creative ideas. But yeah, I enjoy the process, so I could spend hours doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever considered producing anybody else?
No, and I wouldn't.
Yourself. Yeah.
I wouldn't waste so much time doing that.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I've been asked to do so, though.
You
People
have.
Love my sound, and they're like, could you produce my... I'm not a producer, guys. I'm a singer. yeah, I was like, no, thank you.
You know what you want, and that is like 80% of the battle in life, right? well, before we run out to break, let's talk a little bit about your live shows. What are your live shows like? Do they vary? Or sometimes, like, let's talk about all the different ways that you perform.
I feel like, I have a 4-piece band, and I usually sing with keys, drums, bass guitar, the usual setup. Mm-hmm. And my live performance, it just comes from feeling an energy and emotion from the crowd. Mm-hmm. And my first solo performance was at an amphitheater in Bombay. And most of the film, the actors and great artists were all present. And I love performing live, and I love festivals because they seem like, you know, more of an artsy and supportive attitude. Mm-hmm. I'm solo for the most part. But yeah. I feel that when you play a smaller, more intimate venue, you can have like real conversations with your audience and take risks and stay current. And you can also change the set list and how the day feels or how the audience reacts. And when you do arena shows, like every arena looks and feels the same. So like you can't really see who's in the room.
Yeah.
But my goal is to, move people emotionally and tell a story through my music. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite small venue that you've performed at?
In Bombay, like I loved Hard Rock Cafe. And mm-hmm. there was a place called Blue Frog, which mm-hmm. I loved.
Okay.
I think it's closed now, but I love performing there. Yeah. And of course, the amphitheater was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing all these stories. And we're going to run out to break again right now with your song, Let Us Live, and bring mm-hmm. you back in with Lonesome. And everybody, my very special guest today is Reva. You can look her up on Instagram under Reva Ratod, which is REEWARATHOD. Same on Facebook, find her under her name, Spotify under Reva, REEWA. And we'll be right back. Please.
You're listening to the Arwen Lewis Show, guys. I don't want to just say it. I had to bring it in.
Okay. I love it.
Thank you.
You can walk along with the world that carries on. You can stand alone for the one who needs you the most. You can make a choice and save us from the sufferings. You can take a leap to help us survive.
love's life has been stolen.
How will you remember them?
Extinction is forever.
Let us live. Let us live.
Why don't you understand?
Let us live.
Gonna beg you to stay, 'cause I know that you're the one. Don't you take that away. I know you wanna quit, but I'm not ready to let go. Gonna beg till I break. What if I do? What if I don't? What if I'm feeling lonesome without you? What if I lose? Where would I go?
Where would I go?
Why am I feeling lonesome without you? What if I do? What if I don't? What if I'm feeling lonesome without you?
Hello, everybody. This is Arwen Lewis, and you're listening to The Arwen Lewis Show. My very special guest today is Reva. She is an incredibly talented artist who has mastered Western, Carnatic, and Hindustani vocals alongside classical piano. And we're playing her tracks today on the show, and we're going to be playing En Vogue as the featured track. So I want to talk about that to finish everything up, Reva. But first off, Reva and I are both part of a really cool concert coming up in Santa Barbara at Soho. It is on Tuesday, December 5th at 7 p.m. You can get tickets at sohosb.com. And yeah, we're part of Lois Mahalia's Holiday Hang. And there are going to be a lot of really great people there besides Reva. There's also going to be Andres Jones, Lois Mahalia, of course, Zach Madden, and Angus Cook. And more. So we hope to see you there if you're a Santa Barbarian. And so, Reva, let's finish up talking about En Vogue. Can you tell me a little bit about your inspiration for recording that track and your experience?
Yeah, I mean, En Vogue is my favorite band, and Don't Let Go is the name of the song that I recorded. Okay. And yeah, and it's such a beautiful song. I just fell in love with it. And every time I would sing it, I would be like, oh my God, I wish this was my song. And I wanted to do my version of it, so I added a little bit of Indian twist to it, which is very interesting. And I did some extra riffs, added a little stuff in there, and I've made the track as well. So
beautiful,
yeah. I want to do a cover version, a video of this song, and then just release it.
Like cover the old video, like remake it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
The song is Don't Let Go. I'm sorry. I've been telling everybody it's En Vogue. Sorry, everybody. It's Reva's cover of Don't Let Go by En Vogue. Why do you love them so much?
I just feel their music. It just speaks to me. This song, especially, Don't Let Go. Something about it. It's so beautiful. The lyrics, the melody is just resonates with me.
Beautiful. Well, we're running out of time, so sadly, but you know, since we're kind of in like a dreamy state right now, where do you see yourself going next? Do you see yourself, your music changing at all? I'm sure you're going to continue to evolve through your entire life since you're always learning. But do you have a direction that you kind of dream about going in, or are you just going to stay on the path that you're on and see where it takes you?
I haven't really thought about that. I just want to pursue my music and just try to improve every day and, you know, aim to be a better artist and a better person through my music and reach more people. Yeah. And just spread love and It doesn't matter what genre it is. It could be Indian, it could be Western, but as long as it's good music and it speaks to you and, you know, moves people, that's all that matters to me. Yeah.
Well, that's such a beautiful message, and I really admire and appreciate, you know, your reason for creating and, you know, what you create for other people to enjoy and for holding that space for people to escape to. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much.
Well, everybody, Reva and I have run out of time, but if you would like, you can definitely come see us at Soho on Tuesday, December 5th. And Reva will be performing. What's your performance going to be like there before we head out? Or are you waiting to surprise everybody?
It's a surprise.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
I can't wait to see you perform. I'll spoil the surprise for me. I'm just doing two solo acoustic songs, but I'm excited. Okay. But anyway, Reva, thank you. It's been so good.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a great interview.
Thank you for sharing all of your philosophies and your stories and your music with us. So everybody, please enjoy Don't Let Go. This is Reva's cover of the En Vogue song. And thank you again for coming on the show, Reva.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right, everybody, take care.
What's it gonna be? 'Cause I can't pretend.
don't you wanna be more than friends? Hold me tight and don't let go. Don't let go. You have the right to lose control. Don't let go. Don't you ever let go. Hey, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Go. Oh, yeah, yeah. Go. Tight and don't let go. Hey, yeah. Hey,
hey. The Arwen Lewis Show is brought to you by OMAD Records, featuring artist Robert LaRoche. And Robert LaRoche's music is available on omadrecords.com, Amazon, Spotify, Apple Music, and streaming everywhere. Go visit omadrecords.com to find Robert LaRoche.
The Arwen Lewis Show was brought to you by Evolve Entertainment. Host and executive producer, Arwen Lewis. Executive producer, Jeremiah D. Higgins. Producer and sound engineer, Richard Dr. D. Dugan. You can find Arwen Lewis and all of her music at arwenlewismusic.com and follow her on Instagram at arwenlewis.